to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. And we would love, if you do not have a church home, we would love to be your church home. We preach the Word of God. We believe for miracles every week. And we believe that God transforms lives and blesses us so that we can be a blessing. That is our mission statement, is to be a blessing. In order to do that, we first of all have to be blessed, and God has been blessing Merritt Assembly of God, and for that, we are very, very thankful. And so if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this coming week. This week, over in Orlando is our general council, where we will be doing the business that needs to be done, electing officers and things like that, every 2 years. And so we're thankful that we get to meet together this year. That's exciting. And pray that God's will prevails in all of those decisions that will be made. I want to say thank you, first of all, today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are in central Brevard County, and like we always say, if your air conditioner needs a little TLC, call Creative AC Solutions, and they can come and help you out. They do repairs. They do replacements. I was talking with Bill earlier this summer, and he was like, man, I've never seen so many units having to be replaced. Let me tell you, he doesn't advise replacing them until they need to be replaced. So if you're looking for a person who is going to give you honest input and be able to solve your problem in the most efficient manner that is necessary, give him a call, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, and tell him you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So here we are in August. That means school is getting ready to begin in just a very short period of time. And so I want to encourage you, whenever you come up on those school zones, whenever you see a school bus, that you begin to pray for the students. Pray that God keeps them safe. Pray that the schools would be a place where they would be equipped for the challenges they will face in their lifetime. But also pray that they will be taught by the Spirit of the Lord in such a way that they will want to know Him all the days of their life. I know that doesn't take place in the schools, so don't be, taking that and saying that I'm advocating for that. I had a Bible class. They had to couple it with Greek mythology in order to get it into the public schools, but I remember having that class. I remember teachers with a Bible on their desk and saying the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, and doesn't mean that everybody participated in it or anything like that, but I will tell you, we do need more of God in our society, not less. And I would encourage you to pray for our school board, pray for our school superintendent, and pray that they do not do things that are undermining society, but instead they would do things that would enhance society. So today we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And we are going to cover just about four verses today. I want you to know I'm not hitting every passage when it comes to seeking justice, which is part of our study on going through the Sermon on the Mount, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. As I was preparing for the next several broadcasts, I said, you know what, this one here, the Bible that I have that I preach from on Sunday mornings and I use for the radio program, I said, it's already pretty well marked up. And that was because it was one of the passages that I taught for seeking righteousness. And so righteousness and justice, they're closely aligned. And so I'm not touching on every verse, but if there's a passage that I feel like will enhance our understanding of the source of justice and the consequences of injustice, then I'm going to continue to share those. So Psalm 42, verse number 1 says this, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." So today I wanted to start off in this passage from Isaiah 42 and begin to focus on the identity. This is a passage, this is a messianic passage. When it says, "Behold my servant," it's capital S. That means it is talking about the Messiah. It is something that is foretelling the ministry of Jesus. And before we get into talking about his ministry of justice, we need to look at what God the Father does for him. And so it's very important that we minister from the proper perspective of our identity in Christ, of what God has done for us. So it says, "My servant." Okay, so this is in the first verse, there are several passages that describe things that God has done on behalf of the Son. God the Father has done on behalf of the Son. First of all, he identifies him as my servant. Second, he says, I uphold him. The third thing is he identifies him as my elect one. And the next phrase says, in whom my soul delights. The next one says, I have put my spirit upon him. And then that's when it begins to describe the things that Jesus is going to do. So look at this first. It says, "Behold my servant." And like I told you on a program last week, our predisposition is not to want to do what we want to do, but instead that we do what God wants us to do. So we have had a children's evangelist. We've not had him for several years, but we had him annually for a good portion of the time that we have been at Merit Assembly of God. And this puppet would have this little dialogue with the evangelist wife. The puppet's name is Elmer, and Elmer would start flipping his ears, and the evangelist's wife would say, "Elmer, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flipping my ears." And she would say, "Well, why?" And he'd say, "'Cause I want to." And the lady would say, "Well, why do you want to?" "'Cause my wants to. And a lot of people operate in life by doing the things that their wants to do. And so my wife started teaching our kids that what you want to do is not always what you want, or the things that you want are not really the things that you want. What she was trying to say is sometimes your carnal desires will get in the way. And so if you are serving self, you are going to end up with things that you do not want happening in your life. And so I encourage you, do not serve self, serve the Father. Serve the Father. And here, the Father identifies Jesus as my servant. And he says about him, whom I uphold. So I want to lay the groundwork here. I don't know if we'll get through this entire passage today or not. But I need you to understand that you are not your foundation. God is. The only reason that we succeed at anything in life is because God upholds us. And that's a good thing. The scripture talks about two men who built houses. One built their house on the rock. The other built their house on the sand. They both experienced the same storm, the same wind, the same waves. And one of the houses fell and the other one did not. And Jesus said the house that stood was the house who heard my word and did it. And so if we are anchored in Jesus, if we're abiding in him, we find that he upholds us. So you've heard me talk about my pastor who I grew up under. Well, long before I was ever a beneficiary of his ministry, he had been a Marine in World War II and was up on deck. And he told the story of the ship getting caught in a horrible storm and him having to go over and find a part of the structure, and he literally had to strap himself to that beam or whatever it was, and that was what kept him from going overboard because the ship was listing extremely, and said it got very, very close to turning over. And that would have been tragic. It would have been tragic for all of the people on board, all of their families, and it would have had spiritual negative consequences for me and for the people that I've been able to minister to. So it's very important that we find that we are anchored to God and that his strength is what upholds us. You may be going through a situation that says that, you know what, this is beyond you. Well, you need to have a God who is upholding you whenever you are dealing with things that are beyond your strength and beyond your wisdom and beyond your capabilities, beyond your endurance. You need to have a God who is holding on to you. And you have that. You have that promise in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a tremendous passage of scripture. And it says in verse number 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So thank God he has a hold upon us. Thank God that he keeps us and he guards us and he watches over us. So the second part of the identity of Jesus that is mentioned here is he is my elect one. He is my elect one. So we are very grateful that God has chosen us. Jesus told his disciples, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. A lot of times we present it from the position that we are the ones that make the choice. And there is an aspect of that will that must come into play. We must say yes to Jesus' tremendous offer of forgiveness of our sins. We must say yes to him being the Lord of our life. We must say yes to doing life according to his word. But before a bride can say yes, there has to be a groom who has chosen her and has proposed to her. And So here in this situation, God said, I've chosen you. I have chosen you. You need to know that. Because if you're young in your walk with Christ, you are going to have challenging seasons that you experience where you've got to know that you know that you know that God has chosen you for such a time as this. He chooses the times that we live. He chooses the places that we live. Those things are all scripture. He chooses the gifts that he wants to impart to us. He chooses the service that we will do in love to the body of Christ. All of those things are wonderful things. And so understand that when the devil comes your way in a moment of decision-making or sometimes defeated mindset, and he'll say, how could God ever love you? He's rejected you and written you off. Understand that the devil has always been and will always be and is currently a liar. And so when God has chosen you, make sure that you realize that you've been chosen by the best for your best. Doing life according to the way that God wants it done is never going to be a bad thing for you. It is always going to be a glorious thing for the kingdom of God. Now, this next part of the identity that he worked in Jesus is going to sound like something that it seems like everybody should know, but many people don't. And so I want to share this with you because it may get your day started off just the way it needs to start. And so, my elect one in whom my soul delights. Remember, the soul is the equivalent of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And God says, I choose the ones that I delight in. I express it through my will. I express it through emotions. There are a lot of people who don't ever consider the emotional demonstrations of God that takes place unless they're talking about his anger or that he's upset or going to impose judgment. And I want you to understand, when he imposes judgment, it is a just judgment. But there is a positive manifestation of his emotional display, if you will, that many people don't really realize. Okay? And that is, he delights in his children. He delights in his children. He rejoices whenever a person asks him to forgive them of their sins. He rejoices in that. He rejoices when the lost are found. He rejoices in every aspect of their spiritual journey that leads to development. And then there is another emotional display that people tend to fixate on, and they kind of miss it. Some with application, and that is God is love. I do want you to know God loves you. God loves you. But it is not that infatuation type of love that blinds us to the reality of everything that is going on in a relationship. It is an unconditional love, but it doesn't mean that he loves that doesn't mean that he approves of everything that we do. Okay? So please keep biblical balance there when it comes to the concept of God's love. It is a never-ending love. Every person on planet Earth, I can tell you right now that Jesus loves you and that he died for his sins. But he sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus went to the cross out of love for you so that our strongholds could be broken and that we could live a holy and righteous life. So, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. And then it says this, I have put my spirit upon him. Okay? So everything that Jesus did was because of what the Father did. I have put my spirit upon him. You know, Paul was writing to one of the churches, and he said, you know, when I was with you, this is how I behaved, and every person that I sent to you behaved in the same manner. They operated, they ministered, and they served from the same spirit. And Jesus ministered. He ministered at the pleasure of God the Father. He was God the Son, and he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was empowered through the Holy Spirit when he came up from his baptism at the Jordan River. The Spirit was the one who led him or drove him into the wilderness for his temptation. And when he came back, in fact, he continued to minister in the Spirit. If you turn over to Isaiah 61, after his wilderness experience, he showed up at church. They handed him the scroll. He opened it up, and this is the passage that he read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And he rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the attendant, and he said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So if we want justice in our society, and we do, then we need to be believers who understand our identity, that we are not here to be served, we are here to serve, and that God is going to empower us and uphold us to be able to complete that service that he has assigned for us to do, that he has chosen us. Remember that first time that you had put in a job application and you got hired, and you were just so excited that they were going to tell you when you had to be there and what you had to do, and they were going to compensate you what you thought was an immense amount of money, only to find out it wasn't really that much money after all. And so you and I, we need to realize that God has chosen us, and we need to have even more joy about the fact that he's chosen us. Because he's chosen us, be aware that he delights in you. He doesn't assign us tasks because he's mad at us. We are chosen. Paul was chosen as an apostle, and it was his joy to go and take the gospel to wherever God opened the door for him to go. So the third thing is, I have put my spirit upon him. I have put my spirit upon him. We need to serve in the spirit of the Lord. And I know this is kind of one of my little my little niches, and that is this: we don't need less of the Holy Spirit in our churches and in our church services. We need more. We need more. And the social wars that are kind of taking place right now, we don't need less spirit-filled people. We need more spirit-filled people. Our churches should be leading the way in being a place where people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation are represented and that they have opportunity to serve God with the gifts that God has equipped them. And so I had a person that called several weeks ago, and they had talked about visiting our church, and they mentioned which ethnic group that they belong to, and they said, you know, how does your church respond to, you know, this particular group of people? And I said, well, you know, we have a great deal of representation in our servers from that ethnicity. And I said, for a small church, we are well represented, or we represent well the different nations and cultures of the world. And that's the way that it should be. So I believe that it is very, very important for the Spirit of God to change our hearts. Now, this was not a problem that Jesus had, but it is a problem that we have. And that is, sometimes we need the Spirit of God to put his finger on an area in our life where we may not be living in a just manner. Jesus lived a perfect, holy, righteous, and just life. He's the perfect example. I'm not the perfect example. So if there's an area in your life that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on and says, we need to make an adjustment in this so that it is a just representation of what God wants to do in your life, then we say yes. And I don't believe that that's just a Bob Arthur situation. I believe that every person has that. I know some people, and they see no disconnect between the message that they preach and the concept of justice that they talk, and there's an extreme divergence between the two. They don't see the disconnect, but believe me, the disconnect is there. I believe that we need God to fall fresh on us. One day last week, we were talking about the Spirit of God God blowing on our adversaries. Sometimes we need to be refreshed by a fresh visitation of the Holy Spirit. I pray that happens for me. I pray that happens for you. God bless you. You have a great week. And serve God well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.